hello, hello, hello out there. So do you know that the data indicates that there's a significant gap between leaders who believe that they're self-aware and the measured indication of self-awareness? Even more importantly, there remains a huge gap between the perception leaders have of their performance and how employees see their performance. So where is this coming from? Self-awareness is a foundational part of emotional intelligence, leadership, and frankly, your life. So why are we seeing such disconnects? Today on the Coffee with Rhonda show, we are talking about self-awareness, and we're also going to dive into some emotional pitfalls that we want you to be aware of, that we want leaders to be aware of so that they can avoid them, including toxic positivity. Are you ready to lead above the grind? I'm ready. Let's get started. Hello, hello, hello. Great day, everyone. So good to be here again. And I am super excited and so happy that you're here with us today. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda show, your cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. We are back for season 8, and this is episode 98. You guys know we are 2 episodes away from 100. I think we should give ourselves a round of applause, don't you? Not many make it to that 100th episode, so a milestone for sure. So really excited about that. Before we get started, a couple of housekeeping things. You guys know the drill. So you can visit us at coffeewithrhondashow.com. That is our YouTube channel. And please like and subscribe so that others can sort of see what you're tuning into. Don't forget to like and share this video right now. Pause. Stop. If you're watching live or watching later on the replay, stop right now and share this video, because I promise you there is something in here that someone else will want to hear. With all that being said, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show. And I am what I like to call a recovering stressed out leader, because I believe we need to modernize our view of leadership to include well-being and ongoing growth and development. I'm the founder of Above the Grind, Mentoring, Leadership, and Coaching Academy, where we help leaders develop those skills needed to thrive above the grind. You can visit us to learn more at atgleadership.com. Today, I am in a hotel, and so I've got my trusty cup, and I've just got boring old hotel coffee. Sorry, nothing jazzy or special going on here today, but I do have some coffee in my cup, so that's what's going on with me. Let's get to our co-host, and then we'll introduce our special guest. So, Miss Roz Jones, hey, hello, good morning to you.
Hey. Hey. That's all I'm going to say is hey. As y'all see, I'm at the tax collector's office here. Get my. I have not had my tea nor my coffee, but I'm Rod Jones, and I'm going to pass it over to my co-host.
Roz, don't worry about it. We got you covered today, girl. We will hold you down.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for the co-host. So thanks, Rose.
Thanks, Roz.
My name is Ryan. So my name is Mireille. I'm tuning in all the way from Perth, Australia. So I'm actually about to go to bed after this show, but just want to let you know again that I'm the greatness engineer. I'm all about greatness, and I specifically work with women who are in the male-dominated industry, and I help them to increase their visibility and also to climb the ladder so that they can be part of the decision-making process in those industries. And today I'm drinking coffee because I have to stay awake. I'm really, you know, looking forward to the conversation today. So welcome, everyone.
Y'all know it's going to be something special when Mireille's got coffee in that cup, because typically it's bedtime for her and she is something much, much smoother. So thank you, Mireille. Great to see you as always. I am excited to introduce our special guest for today. And so I'm really happy that Amy is here joining us at the coffee table. So Amy helps organizations reduce stress and have more success through empowering presentations and coaching that enlighten leaders in emotional intelligence, holistic wellness, and empathic leadership practices. Creative Wellness was founded after Amy spent nearly a decade ill with chronic illnesses. She had 9 urologists and went to the bathroom 30 to 40 times a day. Amy finally found healing through fitness, nutrition, and meditation, and she now holds over 17 certifications related to mind-body healing in personal and professional development. Amy, welcome to the coffee table. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate it. I love our chat before. I'm looking forward to digging deeper into this subject. It'll be awesome.
Awesome. Give us a little bit of an overview, just a short highlight now of the work that you're doing right now in the world. And then we've got to know what's in your cup.
All right. So I do coaching, like you said, coaching and presentations. I offer individual and group coaching. Some of it is mindfulness-based, but it's emotional intelligence-based practices, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit. There's a 10-week session, a 12-week session. They're very different, but kind of similar. And then also customized programs, but all in the holistic well-being, emotional intelligence. I speak largely on empathetic leadership and self-awareness being 2 domains of emotional intelligence, because those seem to have the impact on, like, the relationships, the social stuff, the workplace stuff, like, those matter. And even you can't really be empathetic without the self-awareness piece either. So this is a good topic, a really good topic. So I'm glad. I'm always really confident in speaking about empathy, really confident. I've written articles and things on that. So I feel really confident in having a conversation about that. And when someone says self-awareness, I'm like, oh, it could go lots of directions. So I'm glad we're doing it. I'm really glad to actually get to have this topic instead of just empathy. I think it's really good. So my story and my tea is, so this actually has water. You'll see it says herbal tea, but the joke is, so I have these, I'll explain. So my 20-year-old buys me coffee cups. This says namaste at the beach. But namaste is in my spiritual stuff. This is girl mom, because I'm a single mom with 2 daughters. And then this is best mom ever. Aww. And although this says herbal tea and it's water, the joke is that I sometimes sip wine or vodka in the summertime outside, and I do it with a coffee cup. And she bought it for me and I drink herbal tea too during the day, but she bought it as a joke. But she's like, you put your wine in the coffee cup.
My kind of woman. I like
it. Yeah.
So like, nobody knows what you're drinking, especially if it says herbal tea. And I do, I'm a holistic health. So I do drink herbal tea in most days, right? So she's like, now you can walk around like you're drinking herbal tea. You'll say it, even if it has wine in it. But today it just has water.
So, awesome. Love that story. Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing that. That's so fun. Oh my gosh, I can already tell this is going to be an amazing conversation. I feel the energy. I feel it. So let's say hello to some folks out there. Mom, my number one fan, is out there. Hey, Mom, great to see you out there. She says, I have wild berry herbal tea with lime juice this morning. Yum. Looking forward to another great show. Thank you so much, Mom. Marco is out there. Hey, Marco. Hello. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, Brett Packard. I am actually excited to speak to Brett on the Packard Network tomorrow afternoon. I will be on the show. And Brett has been on the Coffee with Rhonda show in the past as well. So thanks for being here, Brett. Kim is out here as well. Hey, Kim, great to see you as well. Brett said, congratulations on the upcoming 100th episode. Woohoo! Thank you. I'm really excited about that. Glenn is out there. Mm-hmm. He says, hi, Amy. Mm-hmm. So you've got some fans out there. Roz, Brett has a message for you. Coffee makes it better.
he said this morning.
And then Brett says to you, Marae, you'll be awake all night.
Yeah, definitely.
So Pat is out there. Hello, Marae and Rhonda from Johannesburg, South Africa. Hey, Pat, always great to see you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And then we have one more comment here. Love that mug collection. Clever usage ideas. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Be sure that you help to power our conversation. We're going to be a little bit all over the place today, so just a heads up. But it's in a good way, right? Not an emotional all over the place, not emotional dysregulation, but really a well-thought out. So let's get started today. Someone else is saying, oh, I bet this is favor. Good morning, amazing energy. I have Vita Cup coffee this morning. Oh, this is Heather. Hi, Heather. Great to see you. Thanks so much for tuning in. All right. So I want to start with the opening quote for today. And Amy, let's start with your opening quote, and then you can talk to us a little bit about why this quote and why this resonates and why it's something that you're passionate about. So I will share that, and then I'll read it out loud for those watching on audio or listening later on audio, and then I'll turn it over to you to talk a little bit about this quote. All right. So for those of you on audio later, the quote says, the greatest gift you can give the world is the gift of your presence. So I love this. And Amy, today we're going to talk a lot about self-awareness. So talk to us about why this quote is important for you.
So I chose this quote because you're talking about self-awareness. This is one of my favorite quotes anyway. And I feel like, what greater gift can you give the world than the gift of your presence for yourself and for others? So let's talk about for yourself. Take example, isn't it better to be fully present if you feel the sun on your face, right? When you walk out in there, to smell the fresh baked cookies. I mean, these are things that are bringing awareness to you, to yourself and your experiences, to be able to be present with another human being. You know, we live in a time where people are on their phones all the time. You know, I sit and I'm like, what the heck is going on? But people get off your phone. Like you're all at dinner together, get off the dang phone, right? Or being having a conversation. What are you thinking about? The next thing you have to do. So be fully present. It makes life so much better. I mean, imagine your food. If you eat your food and you're fully present with it, you're with another person. I mean, it's a gift you give yourself. So just being able to be really present, but it requires self-awareness to be able to be present. And it really is a gift. You know, we can get really carried away with, like we talked about, anxiety and depression rates kind of skyrocketing stuff. But when we start to see the beauty in just those little bitty things every now and then, it makes the day a little bit better. So that's why I say just being present is a gift for yourself and for others, obviously. And in the workplace, obviously, we need more of that. So.
I love that, Amy. And what I was thinking of as you were speaking is how quickly we're busy trying to move to the next thing.
Next thing.
And so we are in an experience in this moment. It's the only moment we can control. It's the only moment we can be in at that time, really. But yet we're already trying to get past it.
Get past it.
Right? Most of us are trying not to smell fresh baked cookies. I'm just going to say that.
I had chocolate before this show, so just so you know. It was dark and organic.
Thanks for that, because now I'm thinking about fresh baked cookies, and I happen to be staying at the Doubletree, so that you know that
free cookies.
All about cookies, right? When I checked in, she's like, do you want a cookie? I'm like, no, thank you. So, let's talk a little bit about it. So let's segue that, the gift of presence, into self-awareness. I want to start by level setting. So let's talk about what self-awareness is so that we get everyone on the same page. And then we can talk more about some of the other aspects of it. And so talk to us, how do you define self-awareness?
So I'm going to read to you Daniel Goleman, since he's a leader of intelligence. So I want to make sure I say it rightly, so I'm going to correctly. Self-awareness is a neutral mode that maintains self-reflectiveness even in the midst of turbulent emotions. So it means that you are still okay here, even though there's a bunch of whatever going on. And it can be a lot of stuff going on that's not ideal, but you can still be present to it. You can still be fully present to the experience and make a conscious decision based off that, you know, what you're looking at. Does that definition make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And so I think that when you are in that state and you're present, so much happens. So let's talk about some of the what happens when you're present and when you fully are in that moment, because the work that I do is really all about leaders, and it's about helping leaders and organizations identify and leverage whatever's in their way, right? Whatever that obstacle is that's preventing you from going next level, we need to figure it out, understand it, leverage it, and jump, right? Move to the next level. But being aware of who we are in the moment matters, because so I said to my leaders in a session the other day, I had a full day leadership workshop with a company here in Texas. And I said, you don't get to decide if you're going to have an impact. It's not your decision to make. You will have an impact. What you get to decide is what kind of impact you're going to have, right? We as human beings impact others, right? So when we are aware, we're really talking about awareness of yourself and your impact in that moment.
Yep. So that's being aware of your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors, obviously. And those stem from understanding, like, your core values. I'm always amazed when I have one of the first things I do with an individual client is core values, and how many people don't remember what theirs are and aren't living them. So that's a really quick, easy, anybody can Google core values and go choose your top five and go from there. But then in that moment, to be like, am I in line with my values? Do I understand my beliefs? Am I judging this situation? Am I judging this person? What thoughts do I have about that? And, you know, coaching is all about asking people questions then as well. So, but you have to understand yourself first before you can go being asking, you know, if you're a leader, your job is to coach, technically. That's your job. Your job is to coach people to be the best they can be. In order to do that, you have to know you, and then you have to be able, to ask yourself a lot of questions to understand yourself, and then be able to, again, cultivate compassion and curiosity for your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're so busy asking other people questions that we're not asking ourselves
Ask yourself. Right.
So, I want to talk, so Roz Amaray, so this statistic always boggles my mind, right? So when we look at self-awareness for leaders, and Brenda joined us. Hi, Brenda. Great to see you. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. For those of you out there listening and watching, please, please, please stop, like, and share the video right now. Share it with your network, because I promise you there will be something here for others. There's a statistic that when we're talking about self-awareness, and in some of the research that was done, that says that most leaders are not self-aware, right? The way in the true definition of self-awareness. And when they did this study, they looked at women, male and female leaders. And for the female leaders, they came in at a percentage of 19% of female leaders being self-aware, 19%. And male leaders being 4%. Self-aware. Now, hold the phone, people. 19% and 4%. So the women might be like, ooh, at least we're at 19. No. Back to the self-awareness thing. We all have a lot of work to do in this area. So Roz, what comes up for you when you hear that as leaders, we are only 19% and 4%? And obviously there's more studies with different numbers, but they all show a significant gap between what we think we are and what then we show up as in research studies.
That means we need to be in charge. If we're that aware, we should always be in charge. That's me talking. That's just Roz Jones talking. Am I surprised at the numbers? No. Should we be in charge? Yes. That's what it tells us, that we should be in charge of everything. The courts, the United States of the America, everything, everything. And the DMV where I am.
And the DMV.
So we talk about women being more self-aware. So this is what I love about our discussions, right? You never know where this conversation is going, because Roz went to the awareness of women and it being significantly higher. And so therefore we need to be more in charge. I didn't even think of that. Literally did not think of that. So thank you for bringing that into the conversation, Roz, because oftentimes we hear that, you know, women are too emotional and blah, blah, blah. But there's an element of that that you're speaking to that's really important. So thank you for bringing that up. Marae, 19% of women women leaders are self-aware. 4% of women leaders are self-aware. What does that say to you?
I'm actually quite surprised. I mean, these are really low numbers, either for women or for men. But what I like with self-awareness is that it gives us power. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't know that we have this power, and that's and it is reflected in those numbers. Is that we think that we're reacting to what's happening to us, and that we have no role to play on that. And yet we are at the center. We have the power to really, drive things and listen and react the way we want to react, taking into account our values, taking into account, what we really want to get from the situation. But unfortunately, we are always reactive. And it's also because of this environment where it's all about productivity, going fast and not really pausing and trying to really listening to ourselves before we can, take a position or act. Mm. So yeah, very surprised by the numbers, actually.
Yeah, the numbers are... So, Amy... The numbers are a bit staggering, because if emotional, mm-hmm. if self-awareness is the cornerstone of emotional intelligence, but mm-hmm. yet we're saying that our leaders don't have it, right? Then where does that leave us?
I working with some CEOs, I can see where that comes from. to be honest, you do kind of have to, and I run a business, so mm-hmm. so I read, well, to Roz's point, I actually read an article recently that said that I think it came out in April, actually, that male CEOs were leaving and women were taking over, especially like the middle-aged group. And I suspect that that is because what's needed in organizations is emotional intelligence, and women are going to potentially have it a little bit more naturally than a male mm-hmm. does. And part of that is, you guys are in other, we're all in a different country, so I can't speak for the entire world, but I do know that in the United States, it's definitely males aren't really, that's not a skill that was ever looked at as being a positive thing. It was looked at as weak, right? Like, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that was something that was looked at as weak. So I also feel like, I'm almost 50, that we haven't been, the numbers don't surprise me, because I don't believe our culture said emotional intelligence matters. I think that it became a super hot topic once COVID hit, because it became so devastating and painfully aware that we were lacking it, that we had no choice but to pay closer attention. It was always a kind of done on the side, soft skill, when it's really a human skill. And I think now it's just brighter than ever that we have a problem, and that this is a mm-hmm. potential solution. So the numbers, they suck. Yeah, that's disappointing. But yeah, they don't surprise me, because I don't feel like we've nurtured it. I feel like there's people that are preaching it, even people that are teaching it. I find people that are teaching it still aren't really digging into the depths of it. They're surface level talking about it. They're not living it and doing it. I have a colleague on LinkedIn. I hope he's watching. Model what you mean is his model. Model what you mean. So that means do it. Like, practice what you preach, model what you mean. So quit doing the BS bullshit talking about it and actually do it.
And do it. I love that, Amy. Model what you mean. I also find that most leaders will push back on me when I start to talk about emotional intelligence, because they think it's just, I control my emotions, let's move on.
And that's not what it is.
Intelligence is. And so therefore, it does get put in this category. The reason I don't like the term soft skill is because it feels optional, right? It feels like, well, if you have it, fine. And if you don't, fine. It's not optional.
Like, it's a side mm-hmm. job over here.
Yeah. When you are leading people, it's not optional. But I want to go to Kim's question. Mm-hmm. Kim, I think this is a really good question. I mentioned earlier that they're not talking about this enough, and leaders are not asking this question. Kim says, why are people not asking the question? Perhaps it's related to fear. Why are we not asking the questions of who we are internally, how we're showing up, asking others for feedback? Why are we not asking those questions? Why do you think, Amy?
I think it is fear, because sometimes, like, I preach self-awareness, mm-hmm. but sometimes it is it's hard, because then you have to be vulnerable, admit that you have a lot of mistakes. And I think that's where, like, CEOs and leaders, it's a very difficult position, because then will people follow you? I think at the end of the day, they do. Like, I always suggest that a leader tell a vulnerable story, a hero journey type story that says, listen, I've had this problem. And people relate to that then, right? I mean, you have enough self-awareness to say it. You have enough empathy to be like, hey, I've been where you're at, and be like, hey, there's a way out of this. So But if you're just walking around mm-hmm. giving orders, you know, you're not getting anywhere. And I think that if you have to dig deep into yourself, I think we are kind of afraid of what we might find. We do see all our failures and things, and sometimes that hurts, right? I mean, yeah. I used to say meditation sucks because sometimes you have all this awareness of stuff that you didn't have, and then you have to deal with it. You can no longer shove it. So I think it is fear.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I see Ross. But come in.
Yeah, I was going to say that some people can't handle the truth, Rhonda.
Good.
Yeah. So I just want to put that in there with that self-awareness. People can't handle the truth. And then the truth is sometimes rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody wants to be accepted. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we always want to be, you know, this feeling of wanting to be perfect. And because sometimes even just, you know, watching yourself in the mirror can be actually quite scary, you know, to do. So, and, you know, so you don't really want to think much about, you know, sitting down, trying to understand who you are, because you don't want to, you know, pinpoint some ugly truth, and you know, and you're probably not going to be able to deal with it. Well, so you just avoid and to pause, and you just continue. You rush. You act. You know, and produce without, you know, thinking, and avoid the, you know, to actually confront yourself.
Ooh, I love it. Confront yourself. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one, Marae. Confront yourself. So there's a couple comments mm-hmm. out here. Heather says, empower our collective strengths globally, as these are staggering stats. I agree, Heather. Leaders have to do a much, much better job of opening themselves up and being vulnerable and saying, we have opportunity, right? We've got to be better at that. So Brett said, true emotional intelligence is not yet built into corporate culture. This is where leaders can stand out. It is. It can absolutely make all the difference, Brett. Amina says, hello from Johannesburg. Hey, Amina, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to see you. And then Pat really liked the motto, what you mean. So that's a good one. So Kim said, you can handle the truth if you are secure in who you are as a person, which takes awareness, right? It's a big circle. It's like it goes around and around. So let's talk about a couple of things, because I think this is a good time for us to bring in one of our emotional pitfalls. So we're talking about being aware. When I look at awareness, Amy, I look at and I teach awareness from a couple of perspectives. The awareness of who you are and how you're showing up, and the awareness of your impact, right? Think about your impact. When you leave the room, so hey, leaders out there, when you leave the room, what are people saying about you? What are they saying about you that they're not saying to your face, right? Awareness, that's your impact, that you have no idea when you leave the room, people are like, oh my goodness, thank goodness she's gone. Thank goodness she's gone. I'm sweating and I got all nervous and tense, right? If you as a leader walk into your area and people are trying to pretend they're busy or walking the other way, that's a clue, right? Awareness, people, a feedback is 360. It's all around us. All we have to do is pay attention. So let's talk about, if we're thinking about our impact, I want to go, Amy, to toxic positivity. Because, right, so paying attention to who we are, how we're showing up, confronting the truth, right? Mm-hmm. One of the truths that I see today often is this toxic positivity. And at first, I struggled with the term, just to be transparent. I struggled with, how can you be too positive? But what toxic positivity really refers to as ignoring the problem, right? The fact that there is a problem in face, there is a train coming at you, and you are just putting on your shades going, oh, it's too bright, right? That's a train. Right? To get out the way, get out the way. So you don't get run over, right? And so toxic positivity in leaders. Roz, I want to just ask you, have you seen, and then I'm going to come back, I'm going to circle back around to you, Amy, about this toxic positivity, because I think this is huge. Roz, do you see, you do work in caregiving, and you work with loved ones, and you work with patients. Do you see toxic positivity to the extent that people are not dealing with the issue, because they're going, la, 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 everything's going to be fine. It's like, okay, it may be fine, but we've got to deal with this thing right here.
I have it happen daily. I have a person now that I'm taking care of, and she does not want to admit that her mother is really in stage Alzheimer's. She still thinks that she's functioning. However, her mother has no clue where she is, incontinence issues, hallucinations. And so she said, well, the doctor said that she's just, she's still functioning. So she's really in denial. She's really in denial. You know, her mother has to be fed. You know, it's just a lot of things. And so this are all indications of the decline in the person herself. And so, you know, when it really hits, she's not going to be able to, as we said, handle the truth because of the awareness. She's in denial. She's in denial. So I have that all the time happen with clients that the family just don't want to face the truth. You know, like the movie says, you can't handle the truth.
Perfect example, Roz. Marae, let me get you to see, do you see examples of this show up in the work that you do? Then I want to circle back to Amy on this toxic positivity and why it's so important for us to really come to terms with what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I see it, you know, all the time, and especially with, you know, a woman working in male-dominated environment where we, as women, especially when we, you know, we can't actually progress, we put all the, you know, all the blame on the men. But at the same time, we're not aware of how we position ourselves, how we, you know, we don't ask the right questions, how we don't promote ourselves, how we don't, you know, want to go to, you know, networking and really, you know, get connected to the leaders so that we could have sponsors who are able to help us to progress in our, you know, in our work. So it's, we see it all the time where we want to point, you know, the finger at someone else without, you know, really thinking, asking the right question. Why am I not, you know, being able to go to point A to B? It's not always, you know, because of the, you know, the men, that are blocking us, there are also other things that we need to work on. So it is important, like we said, you know, that we are aware of how we come across, but also aware of what we want to do, because sometimes we actually don't know what we want. And this is what blocking us, you know, and because we can't have a plan, we can't really progress, and we're stuck. Yeah, so that's something that we definitely need to work on, and really understand and strategize to know exactly, you know, who we are, what we stand for, what kind of leadership we're really looking for, and really go for it.
Yeah. No, Amy, wrap up this part for us on toxic positivity. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring it forward today is as we talk about self-awareness, I really wanted to broaden the conversation into some areas, some pitfalls that leaders need to avoid, but not just leaders, right? As Roz gave a perfect example of how this shows up in life and how it can be a real challenge for us in life and leadership, this toxic positivity.
Sure. I kind of struggled with the terminology. I'm glad we have a name for it because people like names. It helps give a little bit of a point, right? A starting point to discuss. But I did kind of go like, I cringe at the name. So what happens if you are not dealing with the reality is this is what leads to addiction. This is what leads to health issues. Like there are some, not just your dysfunction in the workplace, which is obviously that's kind of common sense if you're not dealing with problems, but there's health issues and things that are involved. And what about explosive type behaviors that we talk about going on? That's what happens when you shove stuff. What you resist, like we talked about before, persists. So it's going to be there. So what I always suggest, so if it's all right, if I make a suggestion, is make friends with your emotions. Like you don't have to be happy with them, you don't have to like them, but make friends with them in this mindfulness-based stuff, self-awareness stuff. We talk about inviting them in for tea. You know, cultivate compassion and curiosity for your experience. And when we talk about self-awareness, if you can kind of like your emotions of, and I posted this on Monday and it actually was a really popular post about your emotions actually regulate in your body. They resonate in your body. So there's all the science on it. So we want to know of them in our body and how this is happening in our thoughts and whatnot. But we also, there's some part of us that's recognizing that that's separate. So we're not just our emotional processes. So when we have self-awareness, there's another level to it. So I think that that's important. And so that toxic positivity stuff is, that's faking it. How can you be self-aware if you're faking it? And what right. happens when you're faking it is a whole bunch of, I mean, health issues, in organizations and business, I mean, obviously they're there to make money, but you're not going to make money. If that's your end deal, you're not going to make, productivity and money don't happen if you're not authentic and you're not managing, having human skills along the way.
Oh, that's so good. Such a good conversation. So Pat says the worst, Marae, is that when you experience those barriers and then someone says, oh, it's going to be all right. Right. That can be a form of toxic positivity. It's mm-hmm. like, maybe it's going to be all right in the end, but I need to do something. Right. This is a challenge that's before me that I need to do something yeah. about. If your relationships are off kilter, if you have people in your life at work and at home and your relationships are awful and going, oh, it's going to be all right. That's toxic positivity. It's not just going to magically mm-hmm. fix itself.
But it
right?
doesn't feel all right. That's why validate. I always tell people like in communication, if that's happening, you don't have to agree with somebody, but you can validate someone's experience. And that's one of the most powerful things you can do is be like, I hear what you're saying, or I see where that would, or I feel that that would be hard or whatever. You don't have to agree. You just validate them. And then it kind of allows them that space mm-hmm. to move out of it.
I think it goes back to that fear. We're so fearful mm-hmm. of what this means. We don't want to get drug into the craziness. We don't want to go into the black hole. I don't want to have to agree with you. I don't want you to think I agree with like all of these things.
That's those thoughts that you're lacking, though, in that self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You want to know what your thoughts and judgments are on that.
So checking in with that, right? Okay, so let's pause for a minute. We're going to go to our Car Chronicles. And then Kim has a great question. So I'm going to show the question now. And after we come back from our Car Chronicles break, we're going to talk about this question. So what's the difference between toxic positivity and cognitive dissonance? We'll talk about that when we come back from our short 1 minute break.
Hi, I'm Ross Jones with a new episode of the Caregiver Car Chronicles. Today we're going to be talking about what are the benefits of hospice. What are the benefits of hospice? And hospice is usually started when an illness can no longer be controlled by medical means. So what are some of the benefits of going into hospice? Number one, they provide a personal care plan to each individual. Number two, it provides dignity to the patient at end of life. Number three, it takes care of the patient's last wishes. And then number four, it helps the patient stay at home for end of life. And then number five, it provides emotional support to not only to the patient, but also to the patient's family. Once again, I'm Ross Jones, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Caregiver Car Chronicles.
Yeah, really good stuff, Roz. So many people end up having to think about hospice. And again, you've got to push past the toxic positivity, right? This is something before us, and what can we do? So I want to go to Kim's question and answer that. So what's the difference? And let me just pull it back up here. Kim's question was, what's the difference between toxic positivity and cognitive dissonance? So I'll start, and then you all can certainly add in. Toxic positivity is about a denial of what's happening, of reality, right? It is sort of almost like the gaslighting or the avoidance of, I'm just not going to pay any attention to this. Cognitive dissonance is more about a misalignment between what you're thinking and saying and doing. Here's an example of cognitive dissonance. I'm really trying to be healthy, and that's one of my top goals. I'm going to do everything I can to be healthy, and then you go outside and have a cigarette. Right? That's cognitive dissonance, being what's in your head, what you think, believe, and say is different than what you're actually doing. So that's where I see it. Amy, did you want to add anything?
That's where I would say the same thing, because it's kind of more like the mental conflict is what I look at cognitive dissonance as being the difference. The number one difference would be the mental conflict that's kind of going on with your beliefs and values and whatnot in cognitive dissonance, where positive toxic positivity is this very evident avoidance of what reality is, you know, like you're trying to make something good out of something that potentially is not, where that's not really, there's not really that, there's just a conflict in your mind with cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, good. So Kim, I hope that helped answer your question. Pat said, it's okay not to be okay sometimes. And I like that we can validate someone's feelings or emotions. Yeah, you can validate those feelings or emotions without accepting them as your own, without agreeing with them, right? So all of that, I think, mm-hmm. is really important for us. And frankly, it lets us off the hook. It gives us permission to be kind and to be more empathic with people, knowing that this doesn't mean that I agree with you, but I see that you're really upset and frustrated by this. And so let's talk a little bit more about it, right? You can do that without saying, I disagree and I think it should be this way, right? We want to battle our way out of it, and we don't have to do that. So that's good. Let's go to another subject. Let's talk about, I'm going to put this on the screen really quick, because there are three emotional pitfalls that I talked about before we get into some things that we can do to really get better at this. Three emotional pitfalls that I think about is emotional dysregulation, emotional ignorance, and toxic positivity. We've talked about toxic positivity. We may not get to all of these today, but I wanted at least to raise them so that people can start to be more aware of them. So I'm going to actually give, Murray, let me give you the choice. Which of these would you like to talk about next? Emotional dysregulation or emotional ignorance?
I like emotional ignorance, because I just realized that, you know, a lot of leaders actually don't know about their emotion. They don't know how, you know, they come across when they communicate, and they don't know how to, you know, connect with, you know, their audience, the people that they lead. And sometimes you ask them, they just don't know. They've not been trained, I don't know, or they just ignore it because they're more focused on productivity more than, you know, making sure that they connect with the people that they lead, and they present to them, you know, they lead them to a vision that they have. So I think there's a lot of ignorant, you know, emotional ignorant people that you know, that we think are, you know, around the world, and I think that's why we have those statistics that you were sharing. It's just you know, a lot of ignorance and not really taking the time to build, you know, those skills, because they're not needed for them, you know, in the workplace or in their environment, and they don't know that they can actually develop them, or they don't know that they lack them. So the ignorance is there.
Yeah. So Amy, let's talk about emotional ignorance a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Let's dive into this one a little bit, because I do think that this is one that as leaders, and it, again, in your life, your relationships, I tend to focus on entrepreneurs and leaders just because that's the work that we do, but this is about life. Mm-hmm. So Amy, talk to us a little bit about emotional ignorance.
So in the workplace, I think about emotional ignorance, and I think about psychological safety is a hot topic, and trust, right? Well, if you mm-hmm. If you're lacking emotional intelligence, emotional ignorance is how you're showing up, then you're not gonna be able to create that space. That it's impossible, mm-hmm. it's absolutely impossible. So I have a powerful, one of my other favorite things is don't adjust to the energy of the room, shift it. Mm. So if you have an emotional intelligence, if you're truly an emotional intelligent, self-aware person, you're knowing what you're thinking, feeling, and how you plan to behave when you walk into that room. And so regardless of what's going on, you also have an awareness of what those people, that's emotional intelligence, knowing what those other people are thinking and feeling and whatnot, and being able to shift that energy is very, very powerful. And obviously ignorance isn't bliss. I also, in psychology, it's called affect labeling, you call it mindful emotion. So there's this emotional ignorance. If you could actually rewire your brain to not be so to be thinking differently, to change, to shift your emotional processes. So, and there's neuroscience behind it. So something as simple as naming what you're feeling. So if you lack emotional, you know, intelligence, if you're emotionally ignorant, you are lacking power, like to be empowered. So it can be a very empowering space to shift to that space. So.
Love that. And Roz, you're looking kind of, you're giving us a side eye there. What's going through your head as we're talking about emotional ignorance and not being aware of what's happening around you, what other people are dealing with, and including yourself and your impact?
I guess as I was listening, with the emotional ignorance, then do we use that to control people? How much of that do we take and say, okay, I'm not this, but I use it, I may be abusing the emotional ignorance. I may be using it to manipulate somebody or to get someone to do something that normally they wouldn't do because of my ignorance.
And that's so interesting.
Yeah. That's really what I was kind of thinking. You know, back, you know, your mama would say, okay, don't play dumb with me. You know exactly what you're doing. I was trying to be educational with this. I was trying to sound smart like you and Amy and Morella, but I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, I'm going to take it back to the streets. Don't play crazy with me. You know exactly what you're doing. Don't be no fool, okay? That's the emotional ignorance I'm talking about. Just talking. We all have done it to our parents. We've done it to other people. Oh, Miss Amy. Yeah, Miss Amy.
Oh my God.
It's true, yeah.
It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good. But I will tell you, so Roz, where you went is where Pat just went. Pat said, is emotional ignorance sometimes used as a scapegoat for leaders? Right?
Absolutely. So,
thank you, Miss Pat. Thank you, Miss Pat.
So it's interesting. She said it opens up many other problematic areas and the world can assign labels. And then Jess is out there too. Hey, Jess, thanks so much for tuning in. It's interesting because emotional ignorance and not being aware. So the question is it manipulation or is ignorance I don't know. I'm not noticing. So I heard someone call it whether you are aware of it or not, potentially, it's a form of emotional abuse. And I sort of sat back when I heard that a bit because I thought, huh, right? So it's not your intention that matters, right? And as I used to teach compassionate communication and culture in organizations globally, we would talk about your intent is one thing, but that and $2 will not even get you a cup of Starbucks coffee, right? Your intention is awesome and you're paying attention to it, but what other people are reacting to is your impact, right? So whether or not you intend to do it, if you step on my foot and say, oh, I didn't mean to do that, that's great, but my foot still hurts. My foot still hurts, right? So so it's really interesting. So where I go with the ignorance is back to awareness. Mm-hmm. I go back to leaders have to pay attention and be more aware so that they are not being emotionally ignorant, right? I mean, Amy, is that where you go with this?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I teach this stuff and I still make mistakes. I'm very, very human. I definitely am. And I've been in some crappy situations where I think people lack self-awareness and they were abusive and things. So that potential definitely exists. But again, if everybody learns to be self-aware, then that would be the thing. Because then if you were aware that you could make a boundary and set something different, if you had awareness that somebody, you'd be like, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't feel good to me the way they're talking to me. I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to sit here as a victim. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something different. I don't have to tolerate this crap, you know? But that's to know within you if someone's treating you that way. Just because they are a leader, that doesn't mean they haven't figured out. So if someone's not treating you and it doesn't feel comfortable for you, if it feels icky to you, then it's something you need to dig deeper into. And I obviously, all leaders, we got the stats. We got CEOs that need to do some work, right?
Wow. But, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 10. 1 second, Maria. I just want to say hi to Christopher, who's out there. Hey, Christopher, my good friend and business partner. He tuned in. He said that's true emotional ignorance. And so great to see you out there, Christopher. And then Jess says, I agree that it manipulates people people use emotional intelligence to manipulate every day. For example, the streets, the unreasonable boss, and the so-called friends. I think it's the opposite. I think people who lack emotional intelligence are the ones that are manipulating.
Because one domain is of emotional intelligence is empathy. And if you have empathy, you're not going to manipulate and hurt somebody. Like if you have empathy, which is a domain of emotional intelligence. So we have to kind of put them all together. Our focus is on self-awareness and this key thing, but there is this empathy piece. And this other aspect of emotional intelligence is like your social skills. So we can divide them up and have deeper conversations about them, but they all connect and correlate together. We can't just be like, oh, well, if you have, you know, emotional intelligence, you manipulate people. Yeah, possibly, but then you're lacking lacking key other aspects of it, of emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I have enough awareness that I can do this. No, there's other pieces to emotional intelligence that matter, including empathy and social skills. Those are, you know, this full rounded picture of what emotional intelligence is. So I'd hate to say, and you might have a competitive edge and could use, hey, I know I feel this way and that this person feels that way, but that's not truly emotional intelligence.
It's not truly emotional intelligence.
It's not true emotional intelligence.
I do want to make sure that that's really clear. So emotional intelligence is, so what we did not do this today, Amy, we did not level set on what emotional intelligence is. And I don't want anyone to get confused by the use of the term. Emotional intelligence is the ability to understand and recognize your and process your own emotions, right? To understand what those are, how it shows up for you, to be able to recognize emotions in others, and to then use what I call the golden information, which is those two pieces of information, to use them, to use it to get better outcomes, to create better relationships, right? So emotional intelligence in its essence is about using information positively and not to do some of this other stuff that we can do potentially because we have power or because we recognize that, you know, people can be manipulated. Really good, conversation here. So Pat says social intelligence. Absolutely, Pat. Jess says empathy is key. 100. Not every leader knows how to use it or illustrate it. And then Christopher says empathy only matters if it's demonstrated in action. Absolutely, right? So, all right, let's take a quick break. Let's do our top two really quickly. And then we're going to come back and we're going to focus on what should we do? What can we do to get better at this? We didn't get to the third one, so we'll save that one for another time because we're gonna run out of time. So let's do our top two. And our top two question today is, you have walked through a irradiated field. Don't do that in real life, but just pretend with me here that you did that. And you came out on the other side with some superpowers. What superpower would you choose? If you could choose to have any superpower, be creative, being invisible, reading mind, like whatever, what superpower would you choose? So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. If you're out there, what two superpowers would you choose if you could have your choice of any? We'll do that after this. All right. You have been gifted these powers by walking through this irradiated minefield. I don't know why you were in that field, but don't go back there. But now you have these two superpowers. What two superpowers do you have? So, Marae, let's start with you.
Oh, okay. All right. First thing, I want to be like Flash. So be able to go in a flash wherever I want to go. So that's one of the superpower that I really envy, and also be able to, you know, speak different languages. So when, you know, I do my flash thing, I can speak Chinese, I can speak, you know, Spanish,
very
and then
cool.
Just go and flash everywhere.
That's very cool. I like it. All right, Flash and different languages. So, Amy, let's go to you next. What superpowers would you choose?
To heal anybody magically like that who was sick, that would be one. Oh. And then teleport myself wherever I feel like going.
Teleporting, I like it. You know, that's one of the reasons why I watch Star Trek, because they can teleport anywhere.
Anywhere, a couple different dimensions and all over the world and just go like that, yeah.
I love it. What about you, Ms. Ross?
I want to be back down to a size 10. Back down to a size 10, honey, be fine. As a judge, fine. And then my other superpower is I would want to be able to have more superpowers. That's my superpower.
You're going to gift yourself more superpowers. Oh, my goodness. Man, I think I want the superpower of being able to understand people. I'm constantly going, what's going on in that brain of theirs?
Right? Do something different. Don't get out of people's head. Can't you just something regular?
I mean, that would make my day, right?
Can't you just look? I want to be on the beach all the time. Can't you have a regular suit? You always get into somebody's head. Can't you do something regular?
Well, you don't understand how much my brain works to understand. You know how much pressure that would take off me?
But then what we're going to do is a superpower, we're going to shut your brain off. That's one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Oh, that's so funny. All right, so my second superpower is going to be to make myself invisible.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to be sitting here in front of you and then go, boop, not here anymore.
We're gonna miss you though.
She's gone. Oh my goodness. So Christopher said, ha, love it. Never seen anyone less than me. To only see others as equal, or two, to be able to help anyone to see themselves as amazing as they are beyond any physical form or past issue. That's pretty awesome, Christopher. Let's see. Jess says, it's easy to hurt people with emotional intelligence. It's divine to heal. So I'm going to be a healer. Awesome. Ooh. Thank you, Jess. That's great. And then Christopher said, if I had number three, to conjure perfect bacon anywhere. Perfect bacon, though. That is the real key. It's got to be perfect. Oh, Christopher, we're here, right?
Christopher, bacon. Yes. I'm going to come with you on number three.
Raj says, great conversation, my friends. Thanks, feeling great energy. And he says, love it. Amazing. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. So I can't believe we've got to start to wrap up the show, and we're gonna focus on, I'm gonna ask Amy. Oh, not yet. Not quite yet. We're gonna ask Amy really quickly, because we haven't done it, to share with us a couple of tips for improving self-awareness. Then we'll do our coffee shop and we'll wrap up really quickly. All right. So Amy, you shared some tips on how we can improve our self-awareness. Would you talk us through some of these, please?
Sure. So mindful breathing is just simply get rid of the mindful part of it. Bothers you to have that word. It's paying to your attention to your breath on a purpose. So basically you can do that a number of ways. Notice the, you know, sensation under your nostrils at the chest, your chest rise and fall, your you know, abdomen expand and contract. You can do it for one round of breath, a couple, whatever. It can be, you know, for as long as you like. It actually physiologically relaxes you. There's science behind it. Mindful listening, like, you can't very well expect to have leaders to have conversations if they don't know how to pause. You need to be able to pause and breathe. Mindful listening is just learning to practice listening to the silence or whatever around you, so that you can do that in a conversation and be present. Affect labeling is naming the, we call it name it, to tame it, because it does rewire your brain. So it's naming the emotion. You can find an emotion wheel online or email me. And then a body scan is being able to sense different parts of your body. Kind of like I shared this post on LinkedIn on Monday about in your body, they have a, there's a temperature. Things to, I would say practice the pause and do that.
Wait, hold on a second, Amy. It looks like, are you all, is she breaking up for you? Yeah, she's Backing up a little bit. Okay, so we missed that like last part about the body scan.
The body scan. So a body scan can be done a number of different ways. You can just sense into parts of your body, start at your toes or your head, and just feel into it. I shared that emotions actually resonate in the body. There's studies that show the temperature resonation, and taught it in organizations where we relax, and I name different emotions and people sense them in their body. So it could be a color, it could be whatever. Anyway, your body is going to give you a whole lot of information. So if you want to have self-awareness, you have to be able to, you know, you're always breathing. So you always have a body. So you can always do those two things. There's not an excuse. I always say practice during a transition period, maybe before you check your phone in the morning, stop and either pay attention to your breath or pay attention to the sounds or sense your body. Or say, how am I feeling? Like, it's literally a 2-minute practice in the morning. Start your day that way before checking your phone. Perfect way to get centered and have some awareness of who you are and where you're at before the day starts.
Thank you, Amy. Those are really good practices. So, and I encourage leaders, you don't have to wait till you get home, close your office for 5 minutes and do scans, check in with yourself, that sort of thing. So
you can breathe with your eyes open during a meeting. Like, I sense my hands and feet. Like, I've been sitting here sensing my hands and feet or painting my breath. Attention breath while I'm sitting here. Yeah. So, and nobody knows because you got a body and you're breathing all the time. So you can't, you know, you just have to pay attention to it, bring awareness to it. That's it. Awareness.
It's hard for me to believe, Amy, that the hour is gone, right? The hour is gone already. So let's just wrap up with a couple of comments. Sanjay said, good. He's tuning in on LinkedIn. Thank you. Your name is new. So thank you so much for tuning in. I would love to be a psychic and read minds is what Amina said she would love to do. Mom said, my two superpowers are to help people be in a more positive environment. And strange, Rhonda should say invisible because that's my second one. Christopher said, really, really good. Very effective strategies. Bravo. And breathing is huge. And then Pat said, great session. Let's do our coffee shot. And then we're going to go ahead and wrap up for the day. My shot. Got it. Thank you. All right. So right after this, what did we put in your cup? If you're out there listening, what did you take away from the show today? Is there anything you want to be paying attention to in your own life? It's great to think about what others need, but we can only control one person in the entire world, and that's us. So what are we going to do differently moving forward? So we'll come back and talk about what we put in your cup and key takeaways right after this. Okay, Roz, let's start with you. What did we put in your cup today?
When you were talking about the importance of presence, particularly in my business, presence is so important because it helps with the aging process. It reduces loneliness and, presence in my business is so important, number one. And then number two, the dysfunctional ignorance, that part, I like that discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let some people know that they need to come see Amy on that part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's awesome. Thanks, Roz. I feel like we actually need a whole show on the pitfalls, just focusing on them. Yeah. We blended them together today, so there's something to pay attention to. Thank you, Roz. Marae, what did we put in your cup today?
So the key thing for me is when Amy said that we have to make friends with our emotions. I think that's key, because if we can't accept ourselves, we can't accept our emotion, we are in constant fear, and it leads to, you know, poor leadership, toxicity, all kind of things, and even physical impact. So really, really key for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marae. Amy, as we wrap up, what do you hope people take away from this conversation and then share how they can learn more about the work that you're doing, how they can contact you?
Sure. I just hope people walk away feeling empowered, that it's, you know, empowered to make a change, to make an impact, and to do it through understanding themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, understand yourself and then take it out there. And I can be reached at amymckay@amymckay.com. It changed. And LinkedIn, you can always find me on LinkedIn. Or www.amymckay.com. That's an interim website. But I feel blessed to get to sit with you ladies and have, you know, this amazing energy, and you're all very dynamic. So it's been fun. I appreciate you all taking the time to sit here with me. So thank you for doing what you do in the world. It matters.
Thank you. And taking the time to breathe and learn and share. One of the things we say about what we love about this show is that we learn every day, every show, right? We all learn as well. So we're not, we're just here sharing what we know and learning as we go. So anyone else out there, any final comments? I see Jess said that you ladies have a great day. And then Joan actually says, hey, just got here to listen to Amy. Breathe and pause. Love that. So if you missed the rest of the episode, Joan, you can check that out either on LinkedIn or on YouTube. We invite you to do that. I think for me, one of the takeaways for the show is this is a lot, right? Just in our conversation today, it's a lot. There are so many different elements. So I want to offer us an opportunity to give people and our leaders in particular a little bit of space and grace as they try to figure this out and navigate it. But ignorance is no excuse to stay where we are, right? We've got to move. We have to commit to being better, showing up better, and doing better so that we can lead our teams effectively and reach the goals and outcomes that we have, both personally and professionally. So that's my takeaway. My last drop is this. If you are tuned out of your own emotions, you will be poor at reading them in others. This comes from my book, The UCR Advantage. It's available on Amazon, and it's how you can boost your emotional intelligence fast. So I am super excited, as always, to have been here with you ladies and spending time, having great conversation, lots of laughs in this. I don't know how I'm going to choose the best moments from this one. But if you're out there, thank you so much for tuning in. For my guests and co-hosts, we've got one more comment. Christopher, love all the energy and empathy it took to create this episode. Thank you so much, Christopher. If you're out there watching, thank you so much for tuning in to us. For my guests and co-hosts, I'll see you all in our short debrief. For everyone else out there, then thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda Show. Until next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.